Chapter 8. Only the senses can help the soul. Dorian closed the door and went downstairs, taking the key with him. He went to the library and saw Basil's coat and bag in the corner. He picked them up and put them on the fire. Then he sat down. Murderers have to die if the police catch them, he thought. But no one saw Basil come to the house. The servants are sleeping. Basil planned to go to Paris for 6 months. People will think that he is there. But what shall I do with the body? He suddenly thought of something. He went to his desk and picked up a blue address book. He read through it until he came to a page. Alan Campbell, 152 Hertford Street, Mayfair, he said. Yes, that was the man. He slept well that night and woke up late. He asked his servant to send for Alan Campbell, drank his tea, and thought about the dead man upstairs. If I think too much about it, I will go crazy, he thought. I must try to forget it. He waited and waited. Maybe Alan Campbell won't come, he thought. What will I do then? Campbell was a scientist. In the past, they were great friends, but then that suddenly stopped. When they met now, Dorian smiled at Campbell, but Campbell did not smile at Dorian. Another hour passed, and then the door opened and his servant came in. Mr. Campbell, sir, he said. Alan Campbell walked into the room. Dorian smiled and stood up. Alan, this is very kind of you. Thank you for coming. Why do you want to see me, Grey? Campbell asked, and his voice was angry and cold. I hope that it's important. It is important, Alan, said Dorian. Please, sit down. Campbell sat on a chair by the table, and Dorian sat opposite him. Dorian's eyes were kind. Alan, he said, very quietly. There is a dead man in a room at the top of this house. He died last night. You are a scientist, Alan. You can do clever things. I want you to destroy the body.
You are crazy, Dorian, shouted Campbell. No, I will never help you.
It was murder, Alan, Dorian said. I killed him because he did something terrible to me. Now you must help me. Dorian wrote something on a piece of paper and passed it to Campbell. Campbell picked up the paper. When he read it, his face turned white. Then he put his head in his hands. I'm sorry, Dorian said. But if you won't help me, I will send the note. You are going to help me. Campbell looked up from the paper.
Is there a fire in the room upstairs? He asked.
Yes, Dorian replied.
I shall have to go home and get some things.
No, Alan, you must not leave the house, said Dorian. He put some paper and a pen in front of him. Here, he said. Write the things on this paper, and my servant will go and get them. The servant left, and the two men waited quietly. 30 minutes later, the servant came back with a large bag.
Shall I leave the things here, sir? He asked.
Yes, said Dorian. And now I would like you to leave the house. Do not come back until tonight. Campbell went up to the dead man, while Dorian waited downstairs. Many hours later, Campbell left the house, and Dorian went up to the room. There was a horrible smell, but the body was gone. He pulled back the curtain to look at the painting and saw red on one of the hands. He quickly threw the curtain back over the picture. Then he changed his clothes and left the house. A cold rain was falling and it was foggy. Dorian looked at the great dirty city and heard Lord Henry's words again and again.
Only the soul can help the senses, and only the senses can help the soul.
An innocent person was dead. I will go to an opium den to forget, he thought.
Yes, opium is the answer, he said loudly.
He started walking to the docks. It was a long walk, and when the fog became very thick, he felt afraid. The windows of the houses were all dark now, but sometimes he could see people through them. They looked strange, and he hated them because they were ugly. He felt angry and hungry for pleasure at the same time. He wanted the fights, the terrible dens, the crazy life of the docks. After 2 hours of walking, he came to the docks. Then he walked quickly along a dark street until he came to a small house. He shouted, and a few minutes later, a man opened the door. He passed the man and walked into a hall. There was a curtain at the other end. He pulled it to one side and walked into a long, dirty room with a bar at one end. There were yellow lamps on the walls. A group of men were sitting in a corner playing a game. There were people lying on the floor. In one corner, a sailor sat with his head in his arms. Another man sat at the bar, holding a long, thin pipe.
"Why are you here, Adrian?" said Dorian to the man with the pipe.
"Because my friends won't speak to me," he replied tiredly.
"I thought that you left England."
"My brother paid the bill," Adrian replied. He looked down at the pipe. "I don't need to leave England now. If you have opium, you don't need friends."
Dorian looked around at the bodies on the floor. He did not want to speak to Adrian Singleton. He wanted to forget everything and everyone.
"I'm going to the other den," he said.
He pushed back the curtain and began walking to the door when he heard a terrible laugh. A woman with a bright red mouth came up to him.
"Here's Prince Charming," she shouted.
"Don't call me that," Dorian answered.
He left the house quickly and walked along the road. He was thinking about Adrian Singleton.
"Did I destroy his life too?" he thought. "Basil thought that I did."
Suddenly, someone threw him back against the wall and put a gun against his head.
"Be quiet, or I will shoot you," a voice said.
A short man with a large, strong body and round face was standing in front of him. It was the sailor from the den.
"What have I done to you?" asked Dorian.
18 years ago, you destroyed the life of my sister, Sybil Vane," the man answered. "She died because of you. I knew that your name was Prince Charming, and I heard it tonight. Ask God to forgive you, because you are going to die."
Dorian Gray's face turned white.
"You are crazy," he said. "I never knew her."
He looked around wildly. Then he had an idea.
"Did you say 18 years ago?" he said. "Put me under that street lamp and look at my face."
James Vane pushed Dorian under the lamp and saw a young man's face. He was maybe 20 years old, no more. This could not be the man. He took his hands away and moved back.
My God, he cried. I nearly murdered you. Please forgive me. I made a mistake.
Go home and take that gun with you, said Dorian. Finding your sister's murderer is the police's job, not yours. He began walking away. James Vane stood for a few minutes. He felt a hand on his arm and looked around. It was the woman with the red mouth.
Why didn't you shoot him? She said.
I'm looking for someone, James Vane replied. But it wasn't him. He's too young.
The woman laughed.
Too young? She said. It's more than 18 years since Prince Charming destroyed my life.
You're wrong, shouted James.
I tell you in front of God that it is true, she replied. He is the worst man in the world. He sold his soul for a pretty face, they say, and maybe it's true. I met him 18 years ago, and he hasn't changed.
James Vane turned from her and ran to the corner of the street, but Dorian Gray was not there.